Home Title Lock is a great company because they are the only ones who could do something. I think when you find a company that is the only one that can solve a problem, this is a good company to be in business with. It's a good company to sign up for.
This is one that we didn't even know this thing existed. FBI says it's the fastest growing crime, you know, and cybercrime is big. But this is not cybercrime. This is old fashioned crime. They're actually not stealing the stuff in your house. They're stealing your house, and they have to do it with paper.
Yeah.
And they go down and they file the paperwork, and it's like $40. You forge a signature and you're done, and you have the house. Please check to see if your parents have been crimes of this. If you are a crime of this, only one company can stop it. It's HomeTitleLock.com. $100 search for free to make sure you haven't already been victimized. HomeTitleLock.com. Do it now.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I'm wanting to say something, and I'm just deciding now if I should say it or not. Give me 1 minute, and then I'll decide for sure if I'm going to say it or not.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I know. We're gonna play 10 seconds of music after this commercial. And Stu, be very focused. I have 10 seconds to ask you a very important question. All right. Stu's just shaking his head. Because I didn't think about it until it started coming out of my mouth. That's why. Because I know what you're thinking. Why didn't you talk to us? We've been sitting here for 40 minutes talking about the show. Because it just started to come out. All right. American financing. If you already own a home, you might want to think about refinancing. Trust me on this. Please. I feel like the Glenn of 2007. It was like, you know, you should probably be aware the bank thing is going to get really ugly soon. I think loans are going to be very hard to get soon. And when I say that, what I mean is I'm really bad at timing. I don't know how soon, but sometime coming, loans are going to be harder to get than they were in 2008. Do you remember that? And you do not want an adjustable mortgage. So refi right now, and the only people I would trust to do this, American Financing. They have an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau. They do not take kickbacks from the bank, because this is the biggest misconception. I hope the bank gives me a loan. They're not giving it to you. When you sign the loan, you'll look down and you'll see how much they're charging. It's crazy amounts of money. They're selling you a loan. So make sure you have somebody on your side getting the best deal possible. And that's American Financing. So AmericanFinancing.net. You want to close? Want to close quickly with the right loan? Refinance? Buy your first home? Last home? Whatever it is, AmericanFinancing.net. AmericanFinancing.net or call 800-906-2440.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
So you're saying no?
Seems like a difficult thing to get into is what I'm saying. I mean, I'd just be... Maybe it's...
I'll give it a day. I want you to hear the whole argument. I think I can make the whole argument.
I would like to hear it in more than 10 seconds.
You want to do it now?
Well, no. You said you were going to take a day. I would like to hear a more than 10-second thought-out version of that argument.
All right. I won't say it. Today. I will say it tomorrow. I'm going to say it anyway. I just know it. I can feel it in me. All right. Let's just look at the weekend. What happened? We had Ben Shapiro, a good friend of ours, say something about pro-life and pro-life people. It was taken out of context. It was run up every flagpole, and he actually lost sponsors because of a statement that he made. And here it is. He made the statement, the pro-life statement, that, you know, the guys who are standing up for pro-life, they believe in life. They wouldn't have even killed Hitler as a baby. Oh, my gosh. That's horrible. They wouldn't have even killed Hitler. No, they, as he went on to say, they would have said, let's put him in a good home. Let's give him good parents. You know, if you could go back in a time machine, would you kill Hitler? No, we don't kill innocent babies.
And we don't kill people who have not yet committed crimes
right.
either.
What are we, right? Minority Report? How is this controversial? First of all, he's Jewish.
He's also the victim of the most anti-Semitic attacks in the entire media. The argument is what? He's pro-Hitler? I mean, how stupid do you have to be to believe these things?
So there's strike one. There's strike one. Strike two. Actually, that should be strike three. Strike two, because I want to count up. Counting them up to the biggest outrage of the weekend. Strike two is the Women's March. So the Women's March happens this weekend, and they actually get on stage, and they are actually saying anti-Semitic things. Now, we have said long ago, you don't know who these people are. You don't know who these people are. Look at who they are. We've been saying this from the beginning. You have a Women's March led by these people. You don't want to be in bed with those people. Oh, we were crazy. They were the greatest leaders, literally the greatest leaders in the world, named by Fortune magazine. The greatest leaders in the world. Well, now the left has decided, I shouldn't say the left, now the Democrats are starting to say, these guys are really anti-Semites, they're really, really bad, and why are they saying that? Not because we're saying it, because we have them on tape saying it, sitting while it's being said, and then defending what was said while they were sitting. It's crazy. So the whole thing starts to shimmy apart. The Democrats start to run for their lives. And what do the Women's March do? They get up and they say more anti-Semitic things. And the media says nothing. Okay, wait a minute. Ben Shapiro saying that the pro-life people have such ethics that they believe that innocence is at birth, that babies are innocent and they shouldn't be killed, and they believe that so much they wouldn't even kill baby Hitler. That is a normal human being thing to say. That is like how many crappy sci-fi shows, you know, are on, you know, like, didn't, It's almost like it could be a Star Trek where we've got, oh my gosh, we found ourselves in a time tunnel and all of a sudden we're back in 1939. Doctor Who has done this. Everybody has done this. We don't kill innocent children is always the conclusion. So the anti-Semites saying anti-Semitic things gets nothing. Ben Shapiro saying non-anti-Semitic things is basically called an anti-Semite for sticking up for babies. Baby Hitler. Unfrickin' believable. And now to the number one outrage of the weekend. Oh, yeah. The number one outrage of the weekend has to be The kids from just across the water at Cincinnati, from the Catholic school, who are, in my opinion, Martin frickin' Luther King. These kids are amazing kids. What? They were mocking a Native American? No, they weren't. No, they weren't. First of all, this particular Native American has a history of doing these things. These were professionals going up a bunch of kids, and the kids acted admirably. Okay, so let me just give you this. I'm going to give you all of the tape to prove all of these things. First of all, what we have is the picture of the kid looking defiant, sneering at the poor old Vietnam veteran Native American with his drum. All he was doing was playing his drum. And look at the sneer on this face. Well, if you happen to watch all of the videotape, and you could spend about 2 hours, I spent about 45 minutes watching it, you kind of come back with a different impression. First of all, the Native American walked up to the kid. Okay? The kid wasn't blocking his way. The group of Native Americans walked up to the group of kids, intentionally trying to antagonize them. You don't believe me? Well, let me just give you a couple of things. They were yelling, these are babies made out of incest. The boy ran down the steps. You can't see the angels around us. A black man said, you all have one N-word in the crowd. Your president, homosexuals, these kids, as I will show you with the audio, these kids held their ground. This kid, I watched the entire confrontation with the kid that is now famous, his face. This kid stood there just to say, you don't intimidate me. Because that's what the Native American group was trying to do. They were saying, you don't belong here. Go back to Europe. All of these things. Can you imagine? Go back to Mexico. That's what you were supposed to hear. Gee, build that wall. Never happened. Never happened. They weren't chanting that. Instead, the Native Americans were saying to the white kids, go back to Europe. They didn't report that. So what happened? They marched up. They were trying to get them to swing. And that kid would not swing. He smiled once, probably because he was in a stare down with an old Native American who was beating a drum. And he had to have thought to himself at one point, this guy's an adult. This is ridiculous. I'm standing on the I'm just here in Washington. We're getting ready to go home. And I'm standing here with this guy and all of these people screaming at us. This is crazy. And you hear many on many of the videotapes, people in the crowd going, what the hell is going on? The boys, the Catholic boys going, what is going on? Because they were all of a sudden under attack. I'm going to play the audio when we come back of one of the kids actually engaging because another Native American starts calling him names. And so he starts using reason. And that's when the boy in the photo breaks. Oh my gosh. All you had to do was watch about 2 minutes of tape, but that was too much for the mainstream media to do. These kids are Martin Luther King, and do we need to remind you who he was? Coming up. Yeah. We're going to expose the real story here in a second. First, I want to tell you about CarShield. If your car needs repairs, don't pay for it yourself. Don't do it. Get CarShield. CarShield, if you have a car with 5,000 or 150,000 miles on it and you're out of warranty, CarShield will have you covered. And they cover all the big stuff. And I want you to find out about these people because they have pulled my butt out of the fire when it comes to going in and just, I just need an oil change. You come back. Oh, yeah, we had to change a sensor. It's $2,000. What? Yeah, but don't worry. CarShield took care of it. Unbelievable.
You don't have to care.
You don't care.
Yeah, those big moments that knock you off your financial path with huge repairs like that, you don't have to worry about it because they're just taken care of.
1-800-CAR-6100. 1-800-CAR-6100. Use the promo code BECK right now at carshield.com. That's carshield.com or 1-800-CAR-6100. Stay on the correct financial path. All right, we break for 10 seconds, station ID, and then we come back with a reminder of who Martin Luther King really was. So who was Martin Luther King? Who was he?
I'm interested in seeing your, because I mean, what's your explanation as to why these kids are Martin Luther King? I certainly haven't heard that one in the media.
No, and nor will you. But if you watch them, you will.
Because they
peaceful. They never struck back. In fact, several times in watching the video, you will hear leaders, and I don't mean adult leaders. I mean kids who were taking a leadership position. They're just a bunch of kids standing around waiting for a bus. That's what's happening here. Okay, they didn't organize to all be a part of something. They were already done with what they were doing. So now here's a group of kids on their own waiting for the buses by the Lincoln Memorial. And you will hear several times in the tape kids saying to other kids, don't engage them. Don't engage. Don't engage. Don't do it.
It's impressive.
Stop. It's really impressive. This school, first of all, the school condemned the kids without having knowledge. And I understand the pressure the school was under, et cetera, but you should have waited. You should have waited and had more faith in your kids. And I hope that you have a rally when you get back, when they all get back to school today or tomorrow, and you have a rally and you say to them, congratulations, you stood exactly the way Jesus Christ would have stood.
I don't know if Jesus Christ is smirking as much as that kid, but that's how
that kid,
I would have been in high school, too.
That kid was not smirking.
I think he kind of was, but I didn't.
No,
that didn't.
If you look.
There's an absurdity of that moment when you're
yes.
in it that would make me. I know in high school in particular, I would totally. The only thing I would be thinking about is the absurdity of what it looked like.
That's, I think, what he is smiling about.
Yeah.
If you watch the tape, you can see that moment, and it's a fleeting moment. Okay, and it is truly had to be. If you watch it, everybody's had this. You've had this smirk, and it's not making fun. It's just like, this is insane.
Yeah, the situation I'm in the middle of is crazy.
Correct. He's not making fun of this Native American at all.
You would have to say something. You can't smile to make fun of someone. You have to say something. You have to express some level of derogatory thought, and he never does that.
Okay, so these kids, they're shouting about their school. They're doing a chant about their school. The Native Americans walk up, and you can hear them taunting these white kids, okay? But only the kids on the periphery may, and I say may, be aware because it's cacophony. And so if you're following the cameras from the Native American point of view, you're hearing them talk about these kids and talk about how these white kids are bad, blah, 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 these just white kids. But the kids are engaged in just doing school spirit stuff, okay? And they're chanting about their school. The Native Americans then walk up, and the guy is doing the drum, and he happens to be, he's not planning it, I'm sure, it just happens to fall in beat with the kids' chants. So at first, the kids are all thinking, this is cool. This Native American guy is coming up and he's helping us with a chant, and you can hear them. Some of the kids say,
right?
Yeah, some of the kids are like, this is so cool. They think the Native American is a friend.
And they're because their chants essentially were to drown out the third group,
the black Jews.
Yeah, Hebrew Israelites or whatever, they're saying things like, you know, gay slurs and all sorts of things. They are unquestionably doing really bad things.
Yes.
And so that they decided to do this school spirit thing to drown that out, and they thought initially this Native American was helping them because they were on the good side of things.
Right. And they thought the drum, which it was, if you listen to it, it was keeping beat. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it just happened to be that way. I don't know. But it seemed, if you were in the crowd, that it was just doing that he was on their side. The kids even say, this is so cool. Then, because of the taunts, you realize, oh, these guys aren't friends. But not everybody. Because if you watch multiple cameras done by the kids, some of the kids get it much earlier. Other kids, all the way to the end, are saying, what the hell is, what's going on? What's happening? Okay? Nobody knows what's happening. This kid, I think, I haven't spoken to him, but I think he knows what's going on. And he knows you're not going to do this, man. We're not going to break. But it's so important that you hear one of the kids being yelled at by the Native Americans. And can you give me, Sarah, can you ask Mike which one it is where the kid actually says, I've got so many cuts here, where the kid says, don't do it. The drum is being beaten. One of the kids is being taunted, and he's being taunted. And what the Native American says is, you white people, you're just being white. The only way you know how to react is white. And you think this is your land? This isn't your land. Get off our land. Go back to Europe. So one of the kids, very reasonably, very calmly, says, no, this is everybody's land. And the Native American says, we were here first. You took our land. And the kid says, so wait a minute. Can we just go back in time? Let's go back to Africa, where all the continents were together and we were all one people. And we've all traveled from there. So were we stealing land then? I mean, it's everybody's land. That is when the guy who is standing in front of the Indian with a drum, that's the only time he breaks. And he puts his hand up and looks at the kid and says, hey, stop it. Stop it. Meaning, don't engage. Don't. They're just trying to get you angry. Don't. When the kid continues to respond reasonably, that's when the kid who is sneering at the Native American turns around and says, come on, let's go, and leaves. That's exactly what Martin Luther King would do.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
All right. I'm really thrilled to tell you about our new partnership. It's 23andMe. We're embarking on a journey, and I'd like you to embark on this journey together. Instead of making a generic resolution, I'm making a genetic one with 23andMe. My DNA kits are on the way, and I'm going to take them with my kids, especially Rafe. Rafe's adopted. We don't know his ancestry. We know he's part Scottish, but that's all we know. We don't know even know about his health. We don't know about his genetic makeup. So with 23andMe, we can. And 23andMe has 125 personal insights for people like me and you who just want to eat right, do the right thing for your health, and it will help you do it. Join me now on this journey, 23andMe.com, 23andMe.com/Beck.
Graham Allen, if you don't know who he is, he's a part of the Blaze TV. He had another incident like this weekend. You can hear him all the time, BlazeTV.com/Beck.
Oh, man, this video, you have to watch the entire video. I'll send it out. I'll tweet it out. You have to watch the entire video of what happened with these kids from Covington. It is an outrageous lie. And yes, I know, media, it's Martin Luther King Day. And so you're going to take my words and twist them. But I stand by my words. These kids, from every indication that I have seen, behaved exactly like Martin Luther King would want kids to behave. They were kind in the face of people who were trying to get them to strike back. Read the quote from the Native American guy, who is a liar. He is a liar. And CNN should be ashamed and angry at him and angry at their producer before they ran to put him in a studio.
And I think CNN at least has reported accurately some of these things. It was Washington Post, right, was the first kind of big story.
Yes, but CNN had the Native American guy in the chair doing an interview. That means you had time to find him, book him, get him a car, get him to a studio, and put him in, and no one had the time to watch the video.
Oh, I don't think he was hard to find. I think this is a media performance, right? But this is what he says. It was getting ugly, and I was thinking, I've got to find myself an exit out of this situation and my song at the Lincoln Memorial. I started going that way, and that guy in the hat stood in my way, and we were at an impasse. He just blocked my way and wouldn't allow me to retreat. So he was in front of you, but he wouldn't allow you to go backwards.
Right. The guys who were buffing, if you watch the video made by, I think it was the Native Americans, because it seems to be moving with their group.
Yeah.
You can hear them target this group. They are targeting these kids. And they are mocking these kids. I'm not saying the guy with the drum was, because he was singing his song. Everybody else with him were targeting and mocking these kids.
They definitely targeted them.
Yes.
They were the aggressors.
They went right to these kids. The kids thought that they were supporting them, standing against the other guys who were just horrible. They were taunting the kids. And trying to get them to fight. And so they just started chanting their school's pride stuff to drown those guys out because they were so horrible. Listen to this cut. Let's go with cut 7. Serious mockery.
Look how they mock. Serious mockery. With they let make America great again hat. Serious mockery. Look at that.
America will be destroyed by nuclear thermal destruction.
That's right.
Nuclear destruction. America will be destroyed by nuclear destruction.
Jeez. Mockery.
Okay. They then go on to say, that's right, there's nothing. These guys are nothing but a bunch of future school shooters. Yeah, that's right. That's your future. That's what they're saying in the background. Cut 8. Please.
He said, this racist. What the hell is all this?
Right.
What the hell is you see a crackers with make America great hat on?
Cracker.
Yeah, use a cracker. He's a cracker. All of you crackers. Y'all got one in the crowd.
That's not racist.
One nigga, huh?
That's not racist.
I got one crowd. Oh, you got two in the crowd.
Two black people in the crowd. Oh, you got two black people. You're nothing but crackers. So you're not hearing the kids chant back because the kids actually move to surround the Native Americans, the African Americans in their group to protect them. Okay? Mm-hmm. So what are they doing? They just surround them to make sure nobody gets hurt. Now listen to this. Cut 9.
I'm going to give y'all something. Check this out. Go on YouTube and look up Donald Trump kisses drag. You're going to see your president drag. Kiss Rudy Giuliani dressed in a drag.
Who cares?
Your president is a homosexual.
Who cares?
I got news for you.
Wow. Listen to the laugh. Then they're like, who cares? And you hear them start to hiss a bit. They are defending the right to be homosexual. They later go on in something that I'm not going to play because it's just too vile. They go on to call homosexuals awful, awful names. And the kids boo them and say, they're people. They're people.
Wow.
Tell me that these kids are hateful. Hateful of whom? Well, hateful of whom? They are being hated on because they are white. That is the definition of being a racist. They're being targeted because they're wearing MAGA hats.
That's a fact that you've glossed over this whole time, though. MAGA hats are akin to murder. If you're wearing a MAGA hat, you may just as well have stabbed someone to death. because that's, that's the kind of person you are.
They basically just applied their worst beliefs of what a MAGA hat represents and just said that it all happened. I mean, they're all just like, yeah, that happened. They started chanting these things. I mean, think about just from
everybody was on board with it just because they're wearing the MAGA hats.
Yeah. And the, you know, the media and obviously your typical internet celebrities were terrible on this. But it's like, forget even like the actual confrontation. Mm-hmm. He's standing there. This guy walks up to the MAGA hat guy. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. You see it in every
beating
video.
A drum in his face.
In his face is, I think, an important
face.
Part of this, right?
Yeah.
If you're beating a drum and it's down by your waist, right? Like, it's one thing. To put the drum right in his face and keep hitting it over and over
over again. Absolutely the aggressor. The whole time.
The whole time. And the fact that the media just ran with his narrative, and think about what he did. He said the things that I was talking about, where he's saying they were chanting build the wall, and they were saying all these terrible things. They didn't say that. It's not anywhere on video, as CNN now admits. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, like, he then goes to the media, runs to the media, says he was thinking about his wife who just died of cancer during this moment. They just report it as if it's true without any evidence supporting it other than just his word.
Yeah,
and just assuming because he's on the right side of history, right? He doesn't like Donald Trump, that you can just trust him and take him at his word. That's not how the world works.
What was the original charge of mocking? That the kid was standing there smiling at him?
Yeah.
He didn't hit him. He didn't yell epithets at him.
No, in fact,
he didn't do anything.
He was part of a group that was doing the opposite. Yeah. They were trying to defuse the situation. By the way, have you seen Cuban Avenger on Twitter? This is still out, where they have taken all of the faces of the kids that they could grab from the crowd, they have numbered them, and they have said, if I may quote, reporter, Special Dark Projects Desk, Gizmodo Media, Republic of Lies, Conspiracy Theories in America, here are the faces. Who are these children? So they're asking people, if you have a school yearbook for Covington Catholic High School, my email is this. Then you also have Congressman John Yarmuth. I don't even know who he is. Who is he? Congressman John Yarmuth. I am calling for a total and complete shutdown of teenagers wearing MAGA hats until we figure out what's going on. Because the MAGA hat, this I'm quoting, the MAGA hat seems to be poisoning young minds.
That is just crazy stuff. Can you imagine if these were the Parkland kids and somebody on right had treated David Hogg and Emily Gonzalez in a similar way?
Oh, my gosh.
It's unthinkable what they'd be going through right now.
Unthinkable.
And
they already did that to the Parkland shooter kids. They already defended them when people were saying, no, Lynn, not just some people. Oh, I don't know. Maybe a senator like Marco Rubio, who was saying no. And the kid got up, sneered in his face and said, you're just on the dole of the NRA. Who got defended there? Not the senator.
The kid.
The kid did.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's amazing, too, that the media doesn't get angry at the BS coming their way. This makes them look bad, right? If anyone looks at the facts of this, it makes them look bad. And yes, the person's coming from your side of this issue, essentially, trying to beat up on Donald Trump supporters. But, like, don't you get angry when someone comes and you report this and then you look horrible?
I know.
Instead, they just dig in and defend their ground.
I know I do.
We've had incidents with prominent conservatives over the years.
Yep.
In which they...
I still get hammered.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I still get hammered.
Yeah, where conservatives have tried to get a narrative out there that we thought they were credible, and we started reporting on their stuff. It didn't turn out to be right. And it caused a decade-long rift between certain people. And to the point of, like, it's still a major issue. And it's like, these things, when someone burns you on your own side, you should be furious at them.
Yes.
They should be out there absolutely wrecking these protesters that were on their side, not to mention the particular guy who went and blatantly lied to them. Even if you want to say the media has the best intentions in the world, And the best reading you can have from this is they got a report from a guy and they just went with it, which is terrible. That's not journalism. But if that happens and you know now that this isn't true, how are you not pissed off at this guy? He's made you look like fools.
Because of postmodernism. They're not held accountable. They don't care. Yeah,
they don't care. Yeah.
So let me just go on with Congressman John Yarmuth, because this guy should be held accountable. The conduct we saw in this video is beyond appalling. You didn't watch the video, Congressman. You clearly didn't. But it didn't happen in a vacuum. This is a direct result of the racist hatred displayed daily by the President of the United States. You're wrong on both accounts. You are supporting the wrong person. But then his conclusion is we should ban the MAGA hat from cheerleaders.
Well,
from teenagers. Let me just quote something here, Congressman. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited to it by the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. I am today calling for a complete shutdown of politicians who are trying to circumvent the Constitution of the United States of America. And I'm damn serious. I am sick and tired of hearing these, quote, representatives who swear an oath not to uphold my opinion, their party's opinion, anybody else's opinion. They swear an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America, and then you go on half-cocked and not watching a video in a responsible position, and you say you want to ban hats until we figure it out. I say we ban Congress until we find out what the hell is happening.
Amen.
Oh, God.
Amen to that. Seriously.
Oh.
I mean, but isn't this a clear indication why we must do so much homework? We have to do 100 times
they don't do
the
homework.
Research that they do, because it doesn't matter when they get things wrong. But it could end careers when we get things
so
wrong.
So I wrote today to the guy who's head of the Blaze and said the Blaze should be focused on setting the narrative straight.
Yeah.
There are a couple of people who have made it their weekend to set the narrative straight, but you need the video and you need it in a consumable way. You have to have the video that shows the things that I saw. I watched about 45 minutes. I didn't even watch the full 2 hours. I got a life. I watched 45 minutes of it. You watch just 45 minutes and it's a completely different story. So where are the highlights? We will have the highlights for you. Not just, hey, watch it this time, watch it this time, watch it this time. Here it is. And we'll give you the full unedited video in case, well, that's just an edit.
Out of context.
Yeah, and well, it's not out of context.
And if these mainstream journalists aren't doing that, what are they doing?
What are they doing?
What are they doing? And what they're doing is advocacy.
Yes.
Right? That's the problem. This is supposed to be their role. A guy comes to you and says, hey, I was harassed, and they were yelling things at me, and all the claims that this guy said... It's the journalist's job not to write that story then. Mm-hmm. You go and you watch all the videos and then you say, wait a minute, these five things he said aren't true. That's your job.
Yeah, but here's one more thing. Good news. Facebook is going to solve all of this. Facebook has decided the next battlefield now is to empower you. Today, Facebook will encounter a slew of fresh complexities with the launch of Community Actions, its newest news feed position. It is a petition feature. Community Actions will unite neighbors to request changes from their local and national elected officials and government agencies. Oh, so Facebook is organizing community activists so they can shout and funnel their rage at leaders. Oh, okay. That's, I can see. No, that's going to make things much better, Facebook. Thank you. Our sponsor this half hour is Simply Safe. By the way, thank you, Pat, who drops in every day at this time. He is part of his podcast, Pat Gray Unleashed. You can listen to it live every morning before this broadcast on the Blaze Radio and TV Network, or you can find his podcast wherever podcasts are found. Simply Safe. Simply Safe. Only 36% of property that has been stolen is even reported to police. How's that possible?
I feel like I would want to report all of those things.
I know. Only 18% are actually prosecuted. That's frightening. Mm. That's frightening. Okay. You got to make sure nobody's stealing your stuff. And if somebody does come into your house, you want the photos. And I don't mean a blurry, like, you know, 7-Eleven cam photo. I mean a high-resolution photo where you can actually see their face. You could get it from SimpliSafe. Go to SimpliSafeBeck.com right now. Save 10% on your system. It's SimpliSafeBeck.com. What a bad day for the media. Good thing the Glenn Beck program is here to point it all out. We have that and so much more for you coming up in just a second. We didn't even point out that Graham Allen was in trouble this weekend as well for something completely ridiculous. This is why people wear MAGA hats. And if you don't understand that, Brian Stelter, I will explain it to you. And I'll try not to talk slowly or talk down to you, but I think that may be the only way you understand things.
Our sponsor is American Financing.
It is.
It is. American Financing, look, I've dealt with American Financing personally when I was going purchasing my home, and they walked me through this entire process. They made it easy. They explained all the crazy terms to me. They did all the stuff that they had to do. And you know what they did it for? Nothing. Because they wound up saying, you know what? There's a certain kind of deal that you want. We don't think it's a great way to go. But
in fact, it would be the kind of deal that I would say, don't, whatever you do, if you're going to do a deal, don't do this kind of deal. That's what he was looking for.
And they said, you know what? If you can find it from another place, go take it.
Go take it.
I don't listen to Glenn, just so you everyone's
right.
Like, yeah,
right.
I live my life differently.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, American Financing, they didn't care. They wanted me to get the right deal for me. And that's why they're great. Go to AmericanFinancing.net, AmericanFinancing.net, or 866-750-6551. They're great. AmericanFinancing.net. If you're going to buy a home, this is the place to go.
Do it.
Fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I am so proud of the Covington School kids. And I know they're getting a lot of heat. It's undeserved. And this is one member of the media who actually watched the video. And if they would have misbehaved... The Trump hat isn't like, some like kryptonite. It's not going to stop me from seeing or acting on the truth. I want to know what the truth is. And when I saw the media reports, I was outraged. I am proud to say those kids acted like Jesus. Those kids, the video that I saw, 45 minutes of it. I thought did honor to their community, honor to their school, and on Martin Luther King Day, they did honor to Martin Luther King. I begin there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, let me tell you a little bit about realestateagentsitrust.com. They can help you sell your home for top dollar as quickly as possible. It's an amazing experience. We get emails from people. I mean, stacks of emails on my desk from people who said, Glenn, I gave it a whirl. I tried and I can't believe it's more than what you said. I can't tell you the number of people who said, this was such a hard experience for us for this reason or that reason. This real estate agent understood us, took the time. We prayed together. We laughed together. Some people are remaining friends with their real estate agent. I don't know about you, but I can't get away from real estate agents fast enough in the past. It's because you haven't met the right ones. You haven't met the ones that actually care about the customer. That's the secret of realestateagentsitrust.com. They know your area. They know what your house should be sold for, which is key. They know how to sell and market your home to get out fast and to get top dollar. They know how to help you find your next home. They care. We've put together over 1,000 agents nationwide who are listeners of this show and just like you. you want to deal with somebody who's just going to get it done and you're going to enjoy the experience, it's realestateagentsitrust.com. That's realestateagentsitrust.com. So Stu keeps telling me when we get off the air, yeah, you know, it's Martin Luther King Day today. Yeah. You know that the press is going to just twist what you say. And nah, I don't think they care anymore. I really don't.
I think they like the idea of these kids who've been vilified by the country as essentially white supremacists with no evidence.
No evidence whatsoever.
The idea that you're going to say that they had similar characteristics in some ways to Martin Luther King is on Martin Luther King Day.
Well, I don't even think the press even knows who Martin Luther King is anymore. I mean, he's not radical enough for people now. Martin Luther King is being distanced from all of the, you know, the big civil rights groups now. Only when it's convenient for them do they use it. Martin Luther King wouldn't be a part of Antifa. No way.
No.
Martin Luther King wouldn't be a part of really, he wouldn't be a part of the Women's March. Maybe at the beginning he would have been, okay, let's, you know, gather together. It seemed like a peaceful march, but he probably would have done his homework and saw who was involved and went, no, they seem to be racists. And I don't think we want to stand with racists. He wouldn't be standing with them now.
Would he be at the March for Life? We don't know, but I know Alveda King says that he actually was pro-life, right? I mean,
he was also, dare I say it, on Martin Luther King Day? Yes, I dare.
Uh-oh.
Also pro-gun.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's crazy? Because gun laws for African Americans and Native
Common
Americans.
Common sense gun control laws.
Common sense
Glenn,
gun control mm-hmm. laws. They were always in effect in the South for African Americans.
Yeah, common sense. We don't want African Americans to have guns.
Of course not.
Oh,
of course not.
Gosh,
why? You know why? This is why they told Martin Luther King you couldn't have a gun. Because he went in and he said, hey, I need to get a permit to carry a gun. And they said, no. That'll make it more dangerous for you.
For you. We're
for
doing
you.
It
we're doing
for
you.
You. Just like they're protecting us with
for
their gun
you.
Control measures of today.
Yeah.
We
so,
can't understand how to handle these big black metal scary things that we hold and make loud booms. We can't do that ourselves.
We're doing this for your own good. You can't carry a gun, Mr. King. So, you know, he's not exactly the guy that everybody portrays him. And he wasn't a saint either. I mean, he was a normal guy.
Yeah.
None of our heroes of the past are perfect. He wasn't a saint. Towards the end, he was hanging around a lot of communists. You know, whether that's where he would have ended up or not, I don't know. But here's why we know him. Not because we're like, you know, I support Martin Luther King because he was for philandering. No, we like him because of his idea that you peacefully protest. Oh, I like Martin Luther King because he was a communist. No. We like Martin Luther King and he has a day because he taught America how to protest peacefully. And that's exactly what happened this weekend. But maybe we should look back and have a refresher on Martin Luther King.
We will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children.
And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
Dr. Dr. Martin Luther King has been shot and wounded, possibly critically wounded, in Memphis, Tennessee this evening.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
An all-points bulletin for a well-dressed young white man seen running from the scene.
For centuries, man's freedom has been crushed, contained, or at best discouraged, and sometimes in subtle ways. In the days of Solomon, he decried that man could learn too much, that one shouldn't dig too deeply nor read too often, saying that too much reading led to the weariness of the flesh, that the search for knowledge is where Adam and Eve went wrong, thus proving that learning leads to man's downfall or his sin. St. Paul, centuries later, said basically the same thing. In 1500, Francis Bacon wrote to the king, trying to convince him that man could never learn too much, that knowledge could not somehow also contain the serpent. Yet free thought continued to be squashed. Immanuel Kant, the man who first described the Milky Way as a collection of suns in the fashion that we now know it, wrote in 1760, "There are many things that I believe that I shall never say, but I shall never say the things that I do not believe." The courage to speak one's mind. In 1760, our most precious freedom, the freedom of thought, had not yet been born. Yet, just a few years later, on the other side of the globe, sat a man alone in a hotel room, his wife dying in bed hundreds of miles away from him, as he scratched words on paper. We find these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, with certain unalienable rights given to them by their Creator, among them life, liberty, and property. It was later changed to the pursuit of happiness to make sure the slave trade would finally come to an end. I'm not sure if we really understand the impact of those words. Man has never been as free to think as man is now. The Chinese dissidents didn't make a Statue of Liberty in Tiananmen Square out of happenstance. Americans changed the world. Our freedom of thought allowed men to discover electricity, the light bulb, the car, the phone, the motion picture, the radio, the television, the computer, to put a man on the moon.
Which of these men will be first to orbit the Earth, I cannot tell you.
And a spacecraft on Mars.
Touchdown confirmed. We're safe on Mars.
It was in the American century that the theory of relativity was conceived, leading Einstein to say, "The thing that strikes me about America is the joyous, positive attitude to life. The smile on the faces of the people is one of the greatest assets of the American. He's friendly, self-confident, optimistic, and without envy. The American lives more for his goals, for the future. Life for him is always becoming, never being. His emphasis is laid on the we and never the I." So today, as we are free to celebrate, relax, think, read, say anything, ask yourself this: are we still more about the goals for the future? Is life for us always about becoming and never being? And are we still part of the we and not the I? You know, when Jefferson first wrote those words, they were words of treason and certain execution. But today they are free to echo throughout the land as words of the American spirit and our hope that we do hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And in support of this declaration, with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Our founders changed the world with those few words. And over 200 years later, a black preacher from the South, Dr. Martin Luther King, helped make sure that the promise of liberty was real for all Americans. Free at last.
Free at last.
Free at last.
Free at last. Thank God Almighty.
Thank God Almighty.
We are free at last.
We are free at last.
All office chairs are not the same. Back to the program in less than a minute. You know, the crappy chairs that come from Staples, you know, they're crappy chairs that come from Staples, and you're paying, you know, for a crappy chair that comes from Staples, and everybody is sitting in going, this is a crappy chair, probably comes from Staples. Get a great chair from X Chair. Now, you can say, well, the X Chair has all this whiz-bang technology, and it's like crazy with all the adjustments. Yeah, you can get the X Chair with all of that, and I think this may be part of the flying car that we were promised. I'm not sure.
Right.
But you can also get the X Basic. This is a chair designed with price in mind. It still is the greatest chair that you'll sit in.
And the way the economy is developing, with more and more people working at home and having home offices and, you know, sitting in that chair all day, X Chair Basic is perfect for that.
It has the dynamic variable lumbar support. I am uncomfortable in most chairs because of my back. If you have a problem with that, the dynamic lumbar or variable lumbar support, whatever they call it, is really good. Really, really good. It's just a great chair. Now you can get $100 off if you go to xchairbeck.com. You'll get the headrest. You'll get a free footrest if you use the promo code Beck. $100 off right now at xchairbeck.com. That's xchairbeck.com. Or call 844-4XCHAIR. 844-4XCHAIR or xchairbeck.com. 10 seconds, station ID. I am trying to find that quote from Albert Einstein. It used to be easy to find. All I keep finding now is I do Einstein on America being optimistic, on Americans being happy. I can't find it.
I mean, you wrote that piece, what, how many years ago now?
Yeah.
20?
Yeah. And now I'm trying to find it again. And no, I just keep finding... you know, Einstein on America being racist. Maybe it was in that essay where he was denouncing racism, because he did say, you know, look, I'm a Jew, and so I can understand how, you know, African Americans feel, because I went through it before. But
I mean, look, every single... This is another interesting example of something you mentioned at the beginning of the hour, which is even Einstein had his issues, right? Like, there's some quotes from Einstein. They're not so great when it comes around sort of the, you know, early World War II era.
That one wasn't bad. What he just said there wasn't bad.
I didn't say that was one. Okay. I said there are some, though, that are, you know, you kind of wish... And eventually he came around to some of the correct opinions here, but every single person that you... I used to do a segment on Wonderful World of Stew called Ruining Your Heroes.
Yeah.
And it was just my favorite thing of just taking these really beloved figures and finding all the terrible things about them and just ruining them for people. I don't know why
Thank
I take
you.
Pleasure in such a thing.
Right.
However, it is... You can do it with almost anybody, and that was kind of the point, is you can find... things that are true and negative and bad about every single one of these figures, maybe one big exception, where there is an idea. You used to say this a lot, which is we turn these people into statues and why that's a bad thing. You know, the Abraham Lincoln Memorial is beautiful and it's great, and you can certainly understand how important he was, but that it almost makes you forget he was a man. It almost makes you forget he was a human being that had flaws and screwed up sometimes and misunderstood things at key moments in his life and was not always right, did things at times that were not the right path. But overall, we can still put that into perspective. And it's the same thing, you know, with all of the founding fathers, where they did things and you can question them and not understand. When you memorialize a person, This is why I get so uncomfortable around these like state funerals and things. When you put people, when you have that around them, it takes away the actual humanity. It almost convinces you that you can't do something like that. You can't do what Abraham Lincoln did. You can't stand like that because he was this giant statue of a man. Well, in reality, he was just a man.
Oh, he was a dude. He was a mess. He was a mess. Could somebody go upstairs into the vault on the second floor and get the picture off the wall of Abraham Lincoln looking like Kramer from Seinfeld? Get that picture and bring it down. This guy was a mess. He was a mess. But he somehow or another weathered it. Can you imagine the guy who is fighting a war, a civil war, losing every battle all the way up to half point, okay? Mm-hmm. Losing every single battle. His cabinet is against him. Everybody's against him. Half the country loathes him. The other half, not so great on him. He's got a wife with serious depression. He loses a son. All of this is happening in the White House. His wife is called crazy.
Oh, the home life is a disaster.
Home life is disaster. Can you imagine the press today, how they would treat Abraham Lincoln? You imagine?
Can you imagine?
What they would say about his wife? They already were saying this about his wife. But they were, this press would tear Lincoln apart.
He was a Republican. I'm sure they'd be fair to him. I'm sure. They don't even point out that he was a Republican anymore.
No.
You know, because of all the good, his good so overwhelmed the bad that they can't even admit he was a Republican. Or they just say the Republican Party has changed and now they're racists.
I did this fascinating interview. It's going to be a podcast in a couple of weeks with Brad Meltzer. And you saw that one? While we were taping it?
Yeah.
It's a great one. We just talk about history. Well, we get into George Washington and I asked him a serious question. Besides Jesus, I can't find any other character that is as spotless as George Washington. I mean, yes, he had slaves.
It's a pretty big spot.
It's a pretty big spot.
And
it's a pretty big spot.
And he obviously understood this at some level. And there was
He did. His slaves, I'm trying to remember, but I think when Martha died, she freed the slaves, I think. I can't remember how it happened, but he didn't free them on his death. And the story goes that they didn't want to leave. They didn't want to be broken up because he wasn't like a mean slave. Yes, they were slaves, and there's a difference.
But his slaves talked about him differently than other slave owners did.
Simon Legree. He wasn't that kind of a slave owner. Still owned slaves, but for at the time was a great one and couldn't release them. Could not release them
legally.
Legally.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That wasn't the way the law worked at that time.
Right, in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about this a lot of, you know, sometimes we compare abortion to slavery. And the reason I think it's an apt comparison is not because they're both really bad, because they are really bad. We can compare that to a million things. But the fact that society approves it gives people the out to understand how horrific it is at the time. Mm-hmm. It's almost an excuse for people of how they acted that way. At that time, it was accepted by society and people didn't really... The average person was not thinking whether this was right or wrong. And I think a lot of that's happening today with abortion.
Yeah, most people don't think things through like that. Society accepts it. What? It's a problem. Oh, you're a crackpot.
Yeah.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Okay. Tika Tiwari still says that all signs still point for a massive bull year for cryptocurrencies. I don't know. But I'm not an expert in this field. However, I have taken his course, and I was just, where was I? I was at an economic summit in Bermuda a couple of months ago, and I listened to these speeches from people who are all into tech, and Tika was one of the speakers, and I thought, I can't pick these things apart. I don't know why this isn't happening yet, because every sign indicates good stuff. I don't know what you do. I'm not an investment advisor. I will tell you this. The first thing you have to do is educate yourself. do your own homework. Learn all you can about cryptocurrency and blockchain at smartcryptocourse.com. Take this. It was designed for you. Smartcryptocourse.com.
Graham Allen on the Blaze TV was involved in a little bit of a controversy with the Second Amendment. You can watch his show. He's going to be on this one as well. BlazeTV.com/Beck.
Welcome back to the program. I want to, for those of you who are watching, we were just talking about Abraham Lincoln, and I sent some guys up to the vault to get this a really rare and controversial photograph of Abraham Lincoln. And I think that it looks, Abraham Lincoln looks like Kramer on Seinfeld. That's not why it's controversial, but doesn't he?
It totally does, yeah.
Can you do have a picture of it side by side by any chance? Yeah, grab a picture of Kramer and grab this picture of Abraham Lincoln. This picture was taken on July 4th, 1856. Any idea why that is an important date?
I don't know.
They grabbed him just before he walked up onto the podium for the Lincoln-Douglas debates.
Oh, wow.
This is the Abraham Lincoln that gave that debate. And he won. I mean, looking like this, he won.
A little different than the classic photos you'd think of when you think of Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, isn't that nuts?
That one's not going on the $5 bill.
No, that's not good. That's not even going on the $3 bill.
No.
That's just a bad-looking picture of Abraham Lincoln. You know Abraham Lincoln was in a bad mood if you ever see him with his hair combed. Any picture where his hair is in place, it's because he was pissed off.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, his way of taking out his anger was on his hair?
No. Mm-hmm. He would sit for a photo and they would say, Mr. President, we'd just like to comb your hair. Mr. Lincoln, could we just comb your hair? And he'd say, No, I like it this way. And they would say, no, Mr. Lincoln, we really need you to comb your hair. No, I like it this way. Mr. Lincoln, please. Okay, go ahead, comb it. And as they'd finish and they'd get right to the camera ready to take the shot, he'd run his hands through his hair and mess it up again and do it right. And he's like, go ahead, take the picture now. And they would all laugh and they would take the picture. A few times they were like, no, Mr. President. And he was pissed. He did not like pictures making him look all fancy. Fancy, in his term, was with my hair combed. Because he never combed his hair. That's not what he looked like. He looked like more like this. He looked like he was disheveled all the time. Here's the side-by-side. Look at that. That is a Kramer haircut. That is the original Kramer. Look at that. The nose is even the same. Wouldn't it be cool if Abraham Lincoln walked into rooms like Kramer? Just kind of slid into rooms. Whoa. Oh. All right. I say we free the slaves. What do you think?
Oh, my gosh. Someone should remake in Seinfeld style elements of the Lincoln presidency. That would be incredible.
Man, with like Lincoln popping in. Somebody who had a movie studio.
I would love that.
That'd be great.
Like, the wife could be Elaine. Coming in.
Wouldn't
you imagine
funny?
The characters that you could have in that?
And he would be like, we should free the slaves. And like Elaine used to always do, she'd come up to him and push him.
Yeah.
Stop it. That's a great idea.
This is Hamilton 2. The money's there. People want to see
it. Is. No
rewritten
song.
History.
You just do Kramer is Lincoln. And you get the old cast back from Seinfeld.
Oh, my gosh. This is brilliant. Lin-Manuel Miranda should be coming in and doing
that
this.
That is really good.
Okay, I don't know what that history would look like, but that is that's a billion-dollar musical for you right
that
there.
That is fantastic. What happened to Kramer? Did anybody know? I mean, I know he went off on like a racist rant at one point.
There was an issue at a comedy club. Yes,
right.
Where he was. It was. I mean, you think about that.
That was a bad one.
One of the earliest sort of YouTube moments that affected somebody's career that I can think of. Yeah, he went in. I mean, it was a very bad moment, as he's admitted many times since.
Yeah.
What he was being taunted by someone in the crowd who happened to be African American, and he was looking for a way to get under his skin and decided to use words you do not use.
Yeah.
In that fashion, he is. I would say he's made he's actually recovered from that at some point with a gigantic assist to Jerry Seinfeld,
yeah,
who has so much credibility with everybody, and he kept going on the air and saying, look, you know, he's put him on as big appearances. He's put him back in shows that he's done.
Yeah.
He was on Curb Your Enthusiasm a few times. He's come back at some level from that.
He is funny. We're watching Seinfeld with the kids now, mm-hmm. you know. We finished watching Cosby, and so they have their fill of a pedophile.
And now you're going into the racists.
Yeah, now we're going into the racists. No, so we're watching Seinfeld. And it's a lot funnier. I mean, I've always thought it was funny. It's a lot funnier than I remember. They're absolutely dislikable. I mean, you got that the first time around, but they really are all so shallow and dislikable, which is the first time a sitcom was like that. Mm-hmm. There was no sitcoms before that had the entire cast, except for the crazy neighbor, unlikable.
Right.
Kramer is likable.
Yeah.
In a crazy sort of way.
In a crazy way.
He's the guy who is always like, no, that's not right. You know?
Yeah. He's also, you know, insane.
Yeah, he's insane.
But, yeah, you're right.
The I saw an episode, though. Do you remember the Indian cigar episode?
Yeah.
Go back and watch that now. It's unfreaking believable.
Well, do you remember we did this a couple weeks ago? There's a new list of the 10 Seinfeld episodes that are no longer the worst moments.
I must
moments.
Not have been here.
I mean, maybe that was when Pat was here.
Yeah.
And it was, I can't remember what the other controversy was. There was another like old TV show controversy. And we went over this list. And these moments, you know, there's a lot of them in that show that couldn't be made today. I mean, even going back to more recent history of The Office, Steve Carell said in an interview, you couldn't make that show today.
There was an article out yesterday or today about how stand-up comedy is dead. And I'm like, no, it's really not. It's not dead. It's just dead for this generation.
No, I mean,
because nobody can take a joke. It will, with what was it? With Terror and Slaughter Return?
Yeah.
The gods of the copybook headings are coming back. And so stand-up comedy will come back. It's just going to be after a nasty episode here.
It's interesting you say that. I was the Louis C.K. thing recently has had me thinking about this a lot, because he had this apparently terrible moment where he was, you know, bashing the Parkland victims. And he was saying that, he was saying that it's almost like they're trying to be treated as royalty, these people who are demanding you call them what they say they want to be called. And he was just kind of mocking culture, mm-hmm. and everyone was bashing mm-hmm. him for it. And I happened to hear Jim Norton, who's a, you know, great comedian and like a, you know, First Amendment hero, who's always speaking out for the First Amendment. And he talked about this, and his take was, it's never going to change. It is never going back. It's never going to go back to a time where people actually took the joke. It's never going to go back to a time where people weren't offended over single thing. His take was never. And that's depressing, because there's a part of me that was optimistic about the idea of social media and all these things, and that mm-hmm. when we were one of the first sort of targets in this world, mm-hmm. right? Like, this show would get targeted by, you know, stupid groups like Media Matters and everything.
This show used to be funny. Believe it or not, this show used to be funny. I mean, that was our main goal, was to be funny every day. Then our main goal was just stay on the air.
Well,
weather the storm. And we got so attacked from all sides over and over and over again. It was really hard for a long period of time to still say what I believe.
Yeah, I mean, you still did it, and we had problems from it, right? Constantly. And my take at the time was, this was new to people. Like, these, like a company, right, used to get 10 complaint letters a year, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, they get 100 emails in a day about the same thing. And in their minds, it would turn into, oh my gosh, this is worse than we've ever seen before. We have to bail from this sponsor, or we have to stop advertising on that show, or whatever the change was. We have to make a statement to show that we are not on the side of these hateful things, whatever they were. I'm not going to check. And my initial thought on that was, people would eventually realize that these are mailing lists, right? This is before social media, really. It was more like the mailing lists and emails. And I was like, these are mailing lists. This is just like, it's a dumb activism group that's just, it's, they're fraudulently showing outrage to try to get you to hurt their enemy politically. And I thought eventually companies would be like, oh, I mean, we've seen this 1,000 times. This is idiotic. I'm not getting involved in this. You know what? We don't back anybody's show that we advertise on. It's not what we do here. We make pancakes or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Right. And really, it's been the opposite. It's just now everyone folds over everything. The second, and this happens on the left and right. You know, people just, as soon as there's a complaint about something, look at the school yesterday with the MAGA hat kid. The mm-hmm. school that knows these particular children, their immediate reaction was, we denounce everything they've ever done in their lives. And of course, now they're having to back off of this because the video clearly shows that there was no evidence to the claims that they were bad kids.
Let me say it's like lemon juice in an open wound on a leftist. No, Stu, they acted like Martin Luther King.
Right. They stood there and they did not yell at them. They did not fire back. They stood there silently and they protested in a restrained way by all the video evidence we have right now.
They weren't even protesting.
They were standing waiting
for the bus.
Exactly.
They were targeted by two professional groups of protesters.
Yeah.
They were targeted. Those guys on both of those groups, the what is it, African-American Jews or whatever it is, and the Native American protest group, they've never had this much publicity before. They've never had this, but they were targeted. That group was targeted to do exactly because they knew what the press would do.
And they milked it for everything that it was worth.
Absolutely.
Lied to the press, said things that happened.
And the press doesn't care that they were lied to.
They don't seem to be pissed off about it at all.
Nope.
And that's the thing. Like, I have... Over this time and going through this firsthand, we've dealt with this, you know, for now 15, 20 years. And it's like, you get the sense that maybe it is never going to change. Maybe we're at this point where we just won't joke anymore.
With terror and slaughter, the gods of the copybook headings will return. Read that poem again.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. It's just going to be horrible to get back to it. Let me just finish with telling you the story. In fact, would you write this down? I'm going to the prop storehouse today, or the prop storeroom that I have, and I am picking up the cigar store Indian that I have in storage, and I'm going to put it right there, right behind me, so every day it's sitting there. So this episode is so telling and shows where we are. And shows the right thing. America was laughing at this. But America was laughing at it because it tells the truth about America. He picks up, remember, he's offended Elaine, I think. And so he's standing, he's trying to get her, he wants to get her something. And he's standing in the cigar store and he's like, oh, that's great. That's so kitschy. That's cool because it's so kitschy. He's like, I gotta get that. How much is that? And it was like $1,200, which is not no way you could buy one now for that. It's $1,200 or something like that, $700. And he picks it up, he wraps it up, and he goes to Ellen's house. They're playing a card game or something. They're doing something as women. One of the women is a Native American. And Seinfeld walks in. And he's like, hello, Judy, or whatever her name is. And there's obviously some chemistry between the two. And which you couldn't do now, God forbid. He says, Ellen, I got you something. I've got you something. Look. And he starts to pull it off and pull off the cloth off of the cigar store Indian. And she's like, no, Jerry, don't. No, 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 no. And he's like, what? This is kitschy. This is fun. Look at this. This is great. He's doing it because it's kitschy and it's fun. And it is. It is. It's a part of history. And so he pulls it off and he's doing it as a joke for her. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's immediately turned into a racist thing. The Native American gets up and he tries to apologize and says, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And if that was offensive, I'm really sorry. And then he says, you know, they get back together and she gives him something, the Native American. And it's the Indian giver thing.
Right.
And then at the end, they're dating and he's like, hey, let's just I made an appointment at a great restaurant. So it shows how he's trying and taking it so far. What's her name? I want to say Ellen, but it's
Elaine.
Not Elaine. Mm-hmm. Elaine then says to Kramer, get this out of here. I don't want this. He's like, oh, this is great. This is kitschy. This is great. So he puts it in a cab. As he's trying to find a restaurant that the two of them can go to, Jerry is, he says to a guy who's got his back to him, hey, do you know where a Chinese restaurant is? Postman, Chinese. Why, you think all Chinese people? No. Kramer drives by in the car going, look, Jerry. Woo, 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 woo.
Right, right.
None of it was racist. None of it was racist. But it shows exactly the world we live in now, where Jeez. Everything is interpreted.
Projected the future.
For the worst.
Yeah,
it did. All right, 23andMe. I want you to go to 23andMe.com/Beck. 23andMe.com/Beck. I'm going to start on two projects this year. One, I want to get healthy, and 23andMe will be able to look at my genetic code and tell me what specifically I should stay away from, what I can do, what my muscle mass is. I'm doing this four-hour body thing from Tim Ferriss. My wife is making me drink celery juice. It's driving me out of my mind. Write that down. We have to talk about it. I want a divorce over celery juice. Anyway, 23andMe for health and for ancestry. The other thing we're doing is my son is getting it done because he's adopted and we want to know his ancestry. And so I just think it's cool and we'll do this together. I want you to join us. Please do your ancestry and also find out that I think it's like 150 different health facts about yourself that can help you eat and live better. It's 23andme.com/back. Join me now, 23andme.com/back.
So Graham Allen, really good dude. He's a former military guy, and he's become a bit of an internet sensation over the past couple of years with his rants just kind of about common sense. He's going to join us. He went through a little bit of a controversy this weekend where he posted a photo of his children holding firearms. That's right. He apparently believes in the Second Amendment. Who can believe it? And he got berated by social media as well. He's on blazetv.com/Beck. You can see his rants there. Plus, you're going to hear from him coming up next.
I want to talk to you a little bit about real estate agents I trust. Realestateagentsitrust.com is a place for you to go if you're trying to sell your house. You want to sell your house, you want to sell it on time and for the most amount of money. These are real estate agents that know your area, and they know how much your house is worth, and they're going to help you get the most money for it, and in an honorable and decent way.
Sort of the reverse of a lot of these real estate referral services, which are basically just ways for real estate agents to get clients.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of the reverse. It's set up because you set it up. It's mm-hmm. set up in a way to help the listeners of this show connect with people who are actually sharing their values and principles and the way they want to do business.
Yeah.
And to hopefully support that whole thing where you can actually find a good agent instead of just picking one off of a bench commercial.
Yeah. I want to do business with people who want to do business with me.
Yeah.
And so these are the people that are listeners of the show. They act like you, they talk like you, they are so much like you. Realestateagentsitrust.com. The difference between you is they have the expertise to sell your home. Realestateagentsitrust.com. Go there now.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Ben Shapiro, a friend of mine and a Jew, was basically accused of defending Hitler over the weekend. And he lost sponsors because of it. This is crazy. Another friend of mine, Graham Allen, he posts a picture of his kids and him with guns, firing range. Oh my gosh, he is the worst human being on the planet. We share both those stories, and Graham joins us in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. Let me first tell you about 23andMe. Are you going to join me on this, Stu?
This would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to.
Yeah. So you just go and get your DNA kit from 23andMe and mm-hmm. they, you know, swab the face. I haven't done it yet. I'm waiting for my kit to come in.
Okay.
And I'm going to do it with my son. I want to do it with my wife as well, because I would like to see the, 130 different things that she has to do for her health. Mm-hmm. She's
because you could taunt her like she's taunting you with the celery juice.
Yes, I have to do. Have we made any progress with the medium? The medium. What was it? The weight medium or the
the weight medium? Yeah, I don't know.
The fat person medium. No, the
medical medium.
Medical medium.
Right.
That's a book that's out, and she read it and got it from a friend. She's raving about it. I want to see if this guy has any credibility at all because of him, I'm drinking celery juice every day. I said to my wife today, I have to drink 16 ounces. First thing I get up in the morning, she goes, she was like, here's the celery juice. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's 5:30. And so 16 ounces, got to have 16 ounces. I said, what is this supposed to do for me?
I'm going to put a cover page on your 23andMe report that just says, your genetic makeup says you must drink celery juice five times a day.
I am hoping that I am somehow or another deeply affected in a negative way by celery juice. Anyway, 23andMe, get your DNA test from there. They're going to give you 129 different things about your health, your lifestyle, and what will help you live a healthier life. Plus, you find out about your ancestors. And here is this, the best part for me. They will connect you with people that have no idea you're related to each other. Oh, I don't know. Do I do that on April Fool's? Do I do that on Halloween? What day do I call people strangers and say, I'm your relative? Oh, I can't wait. So anyway, 23andme.com/Beck. Go there right now and join me this year. Let's do this together. 23andme.com/Beck. Okay, so Graham Allen, who is he's got his own show here on Blaze TV. It's called Rant Nation. He's a former military guy, and he poses with his kids with guns. Oh my gosh, you would think that he had set the world on fire and poked the eyes out of babies. He got a lot of heat for it this weekend. Graham joins us now. Hello, Graham.
Hey, Glenn, what's going on, guys?
So now, in this picture with you and the kids, were you in the poppy field and you were all trying to go to sleep, or where were you exactly?
Well, we were in a cotton field that is literally across the street from my house here in rural Mississippi.
Oh, I had no idea you were so racist. You live across the street from a cotton field?
I do, and I'm so racist that people obviously don't understand cotton, that I miraculously made cotton grow 3 days ago in the middle of winter. Anyone that knows anything about cotton knows that that picture was obviously taken months ago.
Right. So why the controversy here? The guns, the cotton, well, the children, both. You're all white.
I think
the sky is blue. What was the problem?
It was a perfect storm. Yeah. I think it was a perfect storm. So it was in response to the Gillette ad, and the left and the right can go back and forth forever on this. You know, it was highly praised by the left. It was highly criticized by the right. I think it's got more dislikes on YouTube than it has likes. And so the left praised it because, you know, it speaks for anti-bullying, anti-sexual predator, et cetera. But the right saw it for what it really was. And what that ad really was, it was this undertone of, it's basically saying that that men, current generation men, are this problem within our society. Mm-hmm. And it was aimed towards younger males, saying that you basically need to grow up different to save our world from the current generation of men. So I thought, what better way to do it than to post with something that I have a very strong feeling, I don't know this for certain, but I have a very strong feeling that the people that made the Gillette ad are probably not pro-gun kind of people. Mm-hmm. And so I posted the photo and I said, hey, Gillette, does this offend you? If I could go back and change one thing, I would have added just one word and I would have said, does this also offend you? Because the biggest thing was, people were like, what in the world does guns have to do with the Gillette ad? Well, technically, nothing. You know, guns didn't have anything, you know, directly to do with the Gillette ad, except that gun loving, Second Amendment supporting law, gun law abiding citizens are frowned upon this day and age by the left as, you know, as the problem. And so that was the, you know, that was the whole reason why I literally just selected. That was one of our family photos. Like, that was part of a whole group of photos that we took months ago.
Holy cow.
Me and my family.
Holy
and
cow.
So, and so that's it. You know, people give me a lot more credit for being this racist bigot than I think I deserve, because they were like, the racist undertones and the time it took to construct such a subliminal photo, you know, is staggering.
It's and, amazing
and I literally just, yeah.
It's amazing how groupthink works. They will, people will do this. People have done this for years, and Stu and I always joke about it. They'll come up and they'll say, oh, I was listening to what you were saying in that monologue, and I hear what you were saying. And you'd be like, oh, thank you very much. No, I get it. Oh, okay, thanks. No, yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying. What am I saying? Yeah, and they will come up with some elaborate thing that, you know, that's what you are really saying. And usually we're, by that point, so afraid of that person, we just go, right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
hey,
right.
But let's keep that to ourselves now. Go away. We shouldn't be seen with each other ever again.
Well, that Glenn, and then the other big comment that I saw was, and I wanted to address this just really quick. You know, I do teach my children how to handle and respect firearms, because I believe that teaching children at a younger age to understand firearms, you remove the mystique around firearms, you get them comfortable to where they respect it. One of the big things was, why is my little girl in the photo not having, why does she not have a weapon? Am I a sexist? You know, is my little girl not allowed
Let me look at the, put the picture back up, because I think I'm right. Is she the youngest?
Yes, she's the youngest. Yeah, she's four in this photo.
Right. I wouldn't let a four-year-old grab the gun either. How old is your son?
Right. So,
how old is the son? Five?
Seven and eight are my two boys.
Oh, my God.
And so the purpose of the photo, one, to just add the reality of it, is I only had three guns in the truck when we drove across the street. So the purpose of the photo was kind of that, you know, that stereotypical Southern, you know, men protecting, you know, the women that they cherish in their, you know, in their life and stuff. Mm. But also, my little girl, we don't let her just handle rifles yet, because she's just not there. She's just not there yet as far as being truly comfortable with a rifle. By the way, none of those weapons were loaded. Obviously, you know, my kids just don't walk around with rifles. You know,
Graham,
they're all locked
Graham,
up all
Graham,
the time.
Graham. You're on the Glenn Beck Show, not like Stephen Colbert. You don't have to say that. We know that. We know that.
You're right. But anyway, so that's the reality of it. My little girl didn't have a rifle because she was four at the time that picture was taken.
Unbelievable.
That is incredible. Graham, it's interesting to watch this, because, you know, you're tied to the Gillette thing, I think, makes a lot of sense to me. Because, I mean, toxic masculinity, they would talk about firearm usage as an example of
yes,
that,
they
right?
Would. Yes,
I mean,
would.
It really does tie in a roundabout sort of way.
Especially Southerners with guns.
Yeah, right. It's interesting, though, because I grew up in Connecticut. It was not a gun culture at all. And I think there's a lot of people around the country who look at kids handling guns and think only the worst, right? Like, the only experience they would ever have with a kid holding a gun is a terrible story in the news where, you know, a parent didn't have their gun put away properly and it was loaded and the kid got a handle of it. And that's the terrible news at 11 moment for them. I mean, the gap in understanding gun culture is so wide. How do you fill it?
I think that the Southern culture in general is doing a good job. I mean, I can only speak for people can only truly speak for their own, you know, upbringings and their own personal influences and events in their life. The entire culture of people that I associate with, my family, my children, gun culture is just this way of life. We go hunting literally just about every day during hunting season, and it's not for trophy or sport. It's to teach our children, you know, hey, we shot this deer because this deer provides food for our family. That is the reason that we go out and do this. Hey, a gun is for hunting or self-defense purposes. It's not to go out and showboat and everything like that. I think the Southern culture does a good job. We're just demonized for
it. Well, so here's the thing. You know who's not demonized that could very easily be demonized? And I tweeted this about you earlier today. Hey, New Yorkers, you let your 13-year-old get onto a subway by themselves to go to school? Yes, many do. Do you just drop your 7 or 8-year-old off on the corner, even though your school is like, you know, 50 feet away? Are you kidding me? There's a lot of people who live in the center of the country that would go, wait. You let your 13-year-old on the subway of New York? Are you crazy?
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not crazy.
Yeah. Nobody would do that.
Right. But if you live in New York and you've raised your kids to be New Yorkers, it's not crazy. It's not. It's very easy to avoid bad things in New York. If you know where you are, you have your wits around you. The easiest way to be victimized in New York, walk around with a map. You walk around with a tourist map, you are a target. A 13-year-old kid who knows exactly what they're doing on the subway, knows exactly what they're doing on the streets, that is not the victim. The tourist is the victim.
Yeah, exactly. And I would think that the biggest... To me, the biggest issues that we have now and why gun culture and why the Gillette ad was so controversial is I think that we have, it's not a gun problem. We don't really have this, you know, there's not the vast majority of men walking around raping and pillaging through villages, you know, that people like to portray that's going on. The vast majority, 99% of men are anti-bullying, we're anti-inequality, we're anti-sexual harassment or assault. You know, who are you really talking to? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the vast majority of conservatives and the vast majority of real men took offense to that ad.
Yep.
Nobody is against being kind to people. Nobody is against that. We're against this undertone that people are creating that men are a problem in society. And I think that's why we all got upset.
So Graham, you can catch Graham on Blaze TV. It's Rant Nation. Graham Allen, you can follow him again, blazetv.com/Beck. Use the promo code Beck and you'll get, $10 off or 10% off. It's the same thing. It's $100 a year. You subscribe for a year, you get $10 off. Do it now at just go to blazetv.com/Beck and see him. Graham, I think this all can be summarized with this. You said Gillette wanted to make a commercial that said, you guys, men, you got to grow up to be different than blah, blah, blah. I think the message that men will accept is, boys, you need to grow up, because men are different than boys. All the things that everybody is excusing is boy behavior, not a behavior of a man. And men understand that. Thanks, Graham. Appreciate it. You're never more than 60 seconds away from more programming. Just under 60 seconds away from hearing from Ben Shapiro and what caused all the problems with Ben Shapiro. First, let me tell you about Simply Safe. Simply Safe is going to keep you safe, going to put the responsibility in your own hands. You're going to design the right thing for your house. You're not a security expert, but you're not a dummy. You can count the windows. You don't need somebody coming in trying to upsell you on absolutely everything. They'll help you. This camera should be here. Camera should be here. And they're going to give you something that is not wired. So you can take this with you if you live in an apartment or if you're getting ready to move or whatever. You can take this with you. It's not something that when you try to get out of the contract, you're like, well, I should just stay because somebody else is going to sell me another system. There's no reason to get out of this.
Yeah.
It works. It's the best. It's wireless. And there's no contract.
There was a time where like only rich people had alarms on their houses.
Right.
It's 2019. The technology's here. It's inexpensive. $14.99 a month for Simply Safe.
It's really.
You got to have this on your home.
Super, super simple and effective. And also priced for you. $14.99 a month, no contract. We break now for 10 Second Station Idea. That's simplysafebeck.com. I almost forgot to.
I'm a little disturbed here reading this article about Graham Allen. The last line said, Graham Allen did not return Yahoo Lifestyle's request for comment.
Shut up.
I mean, if you're not going to respond to Yahoo Lifestyle, I don't want to have any dealings with you whatsoever.
Oh my
if
God.
Yahoo Lifestyle asks, you answer, Graham.
Oh, my gosh. Ugh. Oh, my gosh.
And I hope Ben Shapiro knows this, too, because Yahoo Lifestyle may have reached out for a comment from him, too.
Can we play the Ben Shapiro audio? This is what got Ben Shapiro basically called an anti-Semite. He's Jewish, by the way. Shapiro. Listen.
Finally, argument number 10. This one has become popular in recent years after the book Freakonomics came out. That argument is that abortion lowers the crime rate, right? That all the that what has lowered the crime rate traditionally has been killing all the would-be criminals. First of all, okay, that I don't know who's comfortable with the pre-crime version of humanity, where we get to decide before you're born whether you're likely to be a criminal and then abort you based on future criminal activity in which you have not participated. Right? The argument, I guess, here is that would you kill baby Hitler? And the truth is that no pro-life person on earth would kill baby Hitler. Right, because baby Hitler wasn't Hitler. Adult Hitler was Hitler. Baby Hitler was a baby. Right, what you presumably want to do with baby Hitler was take baby Hitler out of baby Hitler's house and move baby Hitler into a better house where he would not grow up to be Hitler. Right? That's the idea. But it is also true that the crime statistics do not even match up. Criminologist Barry Latzer points out that abortions became available in 1973 under Roe versus Wade. Those young people would go on to create a massive crime spike and the crack cocaine epidemic. But if you move forward 15 to 20 years, right, which that's when you would see the crime drop due to the abortion of babies. But there is no crime drop. You'd expect the absent babies, right, the babies that were killed starting in 1973, not to be around carjacking people. But it turns out that people were still carjacking people 15 years after Roe v. Wade, 20 years after Roe v. Wade. The crime spike only began to drop in 1994, a solid 21 years after Roe v. Wade was actually put in place. That can't be due to abortion. Right, that's really due to additional policing, so it doesn't even match up statistically. Now, in all of this discussion, I've refrained from discussing the Bible and religion. Now, one of the arguments that I've made is based on the Bible or religion. Now, the media will pretend that I didn't make any of these arguments, that it's all about the Bible and religion, because the left prefers to believe that religion is stupid, and people who believe in religion are stupid, people who believe in God are idiots, and that's the reason why we prefer to protect the lives of the unborn. But we do have to recognize one religious root to every argument that I'm making, and that is the innate value of human life. That is a religiously based argument.
I mean, just a collection of great points on the topic.
Tell me how you get a defense of Hitler out of that.
I mean, it's implausible, obviously, because Ben Shapiro has been attacked by anti-Semites more than any journalist. This is not like me just saying it. It was a study done by anti-Semitic attacks on journalists in 2016, and he was attacked by more than any other journalist in existence. The idea that he could be some pro-Hitler guy or some he's so fanatic that he would let the Holocaust happen to not let a woman have an abortion or whatever the accusation is, they're all absurd.
So let me tell you what's happening here and why these things are put out. And then they say, oh, I'm really sorry, because it doesn't matter. The retraction doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
OK, the image is already in your head. So if you don't know Ben Shapiro and you hear that Ben Shapiro was defending Hitler by saying nobody should kill baby Hitler because he loves Hitler. And that's the spin you have. Even if you hear a few days later, that's not true. That is seared into your head because it's an outrageous statement and an outrageous position. So that's seared in your head. Remember, you don't really know Ben Shapiro. You're not really following Ben Shapiro. You don't really care about this. But you saw someplace. I read someplace that he's like a big anti-Semite. Okay. Mm-hmm. You get enough of those. You all of a sudden start to say, Ben Shapiro is just a bad guy. You don't know him. You've never heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
You've never met him. You've never seen him. You don't know anything about him except all of the falsehoods that have been put out.
Yeah.
That's disinformation. Misinformation is a mistake. Misinformation is something. We made a mistake. disinformation is intentionally put out there. There's no way any journalist or anyone could possibly make that claim based on that soundbite.
Yet they continued to report it. These activist groups went after his sponsors, all the typical crap that goes on, knowing that there was absolutely nothing controversial about that comment.
And you have to know the difference between misinformation and disinformation. What happened with the kids from Kentucky? That was disinformation. There were no mistakes made there. Journalists don't make those kinds of easy mistakes.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
I want to talk to you a little bit about CarShield. You bring your car in. Do you remember when we were kids, you would just pull off the side of the road and you'd have your hood up and you'd hope somebody stopped? Because you don't have a cell phone, because we didn't have them. Only rich people had them. Mm. And you would be like, oh, please. And I would watch. I had a DeLorean once, and I would watch that the heater, the radiator start to go. And I'm like, I got to get out of this traffic or this thing's going to blow. And it always did. And you would just be like, oh, I'm stuck here now. Remember that fear, or the fear of that engine light going on? You're like, I don't have the money. Don't fear that. If you have a car that has 5,000, 150,000 miles, get covered now with CarShield. They'll cover these things. Take the stress out of your life. Do it now. 1-800-CAR-6100. 800-CAR-6100. Use the promo code Beck at carshield.com.
Spent a lot of time today talking about the kid in the MAGA hat and the incident that happened at the March for Life rally. We have one of his chaperones coming up next.
I have to tell you, I have seen a lot of protesters. I've seen a lot of people act. I've seen crowds of adults act like morons on both sides. I've seen people make stupid mistakes. But I have yet to see, outside of perhaps the crowd that we had in Washington, D.C., I have yet to see a crowd of kids act as Christ-like as I saw these kids in Covington act. And if you read the letter of the main kid, Nick Sandman, who was the guy who was staring down the Native American, he wasn't. He was acting Christ-like. And you see it if you watch the video. I watched the videos. I didn't watch the clips. I watched the actual whole video. And you see they were targeted. He wasn't blocking anyone. He was not smirking and laughing. I would imagine that for a while there, he either got like the funeral giggles. I was an altar boy. Oh, I remember being taken back because I had my friend and I, we were altar boys at a funeral, and we got the giggles. And it wasn't because we wanted to. It was because we didn't want to. And man, we got chastised by the priest. It was not pretty. Anyway, I think he's just because he's smiling because of the absurdity of it. But if you watch the whole video, that's only a fraction of a second. And then he hears one of his classmates intelligently, not confronting, intelligently trying to argue with one of the Native American protesters who's calling them all kinds of names. And Nick actually tries to stop the kid. He's like, at one point, he's like, hey, don't. When his friend continues, that's when he turns around, grabs him and says, let's go. The kid was doing, on Martin Luther King Day, I am proud to say, this is a group of kids that Martin Luther King would hold up as a great example. And everyone should do that. Now, we have Jill Hamlin on. She was a chaperone as they were waiting for the bus. They weren't protesting. They were just there waiting for the bus so they could go home. Jill, welcome to the program.
Hi, Glenn. Thank you.
I can't even imagine what you feel like. I am so upset, and I don't know any of the kids, and I wasn't there.
It was upsetting when it happened, and it's been even more upsetting to see the aftermath and just the torment these kids are going through and being so wrongly accused of something they did not do.
Tell me what the scene was, Jill.
As I know, everybody's heard, this has been the meeting place at the Lincoln Memorial for the boys to meet and get their buses. That is what we do every year.
And every year, everybody does that because that's where the buses can make a circle. It's the only place where the buses can wait and pick people up from all over the country. That's where you meet. But go ahead.
Exactly. We had no idea that there was an Indigenous march that day. We were there for the March for Life, a peaceful march that we did. We met. We gathered on the steps because, as has been done in past years, the boys typically do their school cheer on the steps down below by the Lincoln Memorial. Once they were gathering, there were other people milling around. There were the Black Hebrew Israelites, mm-hmm. I think that's what they call themselves.
Yeah, well, I lived in New York for about 6 years, so I can tell you they're crazy. That's what we call them. When you live in New York and you pass them every day, you're like, oh, those crazy people are across the street. We better cross the street. Go ahead.
Yes, they immediately, their eyes just darted over to the crowd of boys, and boom, they were the target immediately from the get-go.
Yep.
People from their group started running around with cameras, jumping up on columns and just filming everything. And the boys just looked at each other like, why are they saying this to us? We've done nothing wrong. We haven't said anything. We haven't instigated anything. And the insults and the hatred that came out of the mouth of these people holding Bibles in their hands was disgusting.
Everybody, every journalist at every network has passed those guys on the streets of New York. They know exactly who they are. They know exactly the hateful, racist things that they say. And for the journalist in America to actually not give someone else the benefit of the doubt when they have firsthand experience on the streets of New York of those people, it's despicable. But go ahead.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, they just were in shock, as we all were. And so we just thought, you know, we're just going to stay together as our group on the steps, and we're going to ignore the insults. And then you have Nathan Phillips with his four or five people. He started, you know, he had been beating his drum, and the boys were all crowded around. I mean, we were all standing there. The chaperones were all around. It's unfortunate that people think we were nowhere to be found. But Nathan Phillips inserted himself into our group of boys.
Have you watched the video from them? Because I watched several videos from several different people on all sides. If you watch the video from the Native American point of view, they specifically target your group. They specifically approach your group because they say, look at all of those white Europeans, and they specifically know what they're walking into.
Yes, they did. And he was not trying to defuse a situation. He made it worse. He made it worse because he wants the attention, and he has drugged this school and these boys and their reputations through the worst possible way that he could. And he did not defuse the situation. And everyone says, why didn't the boy move away? He couldn't. He was surrounded by his classmates. They were all standing there. And to your point earlier, he was afraid. He is a young man. He's not an adult. Most of these kids have never been confronted with this type of situation. And they shouldn't have been done that either by Nathan Phillips.
He said that all these people were calling names, blah, blah, blah. He was trying to defuse. This is your Catholic student trying to defuse. At one point, he said, I just felt that these adults were trying to use the kids, us kids, as a prop or something. I can't remember. He said it beautifully, and I can't find it. But he knew these kids, I repeat, kids, are being persecuted for actions they did not commit. It's truly horrifying. And he talks about how he was standing there with adults trying to provoke them. And he knew that's what was happening.
Yes.
Jill, can you hold on? I want to take a quick break, and then I want to come back and continue our conversation. We'll continue. This is Jill Hamlin. She was a chaperone, Covington Catholic High School. You should be proud of every student that goes to Covington. I don't care what anyone else is saying. You watch those videos. If you watch those videos, if your child was in that group, if, in fact, the parents of Nick Sandman, oh my gosh, if I was his father, I would say, mission accomplished. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. But I obviously raised my son right. I raised my son to the light. It's me and it's the Covington Catholic High School that have actually done it. I think these kids are Martin Luther King Jr. Juniors. They are little Martin Luther Kings. Congratulations. Back in a minute with more from Jill Hamlin. Sponsor of this half hour is 23andMe. Knowledge is power, they say. That's the cornerstone of what 23andMe is and what they do for their clients. The DNA test, I will tell you, I was at the hospital with my daughter. She gets out hopefully today. Modern technology is amazing. Is absolutely amazing. And what genetics can tell you is incredible. It's a lot more than just your ancestry. It can say a lot about your health. 23andMe's health and ancestry kit. You're going to learn about your health, your traits, your ancestry, and more. There's 125 personalized insights that you will get. Join me. Discover the connections between your DNA, your muscle composition, your genetic weight, how much you have to move, during the day, how much you move in your sleep, how much is deep sleep, how much caffeine you should have, and the likelihood of things like being lactose intolerant. All the stuff day-to-day living and all of the stuff about your ancestors and your history. 23andme.com/Beck. Join me. 23andme.com/Beck. Jill Hamlin, she was a chaperone at Covington Catholic High School on Friday that this video was shot and filmed. It was Friday, wasn't it? It's horrible what has happened to the Covington Catholic High School students over the weekend. She was there. There are apparently some shots and some indications that some of the kids were making, listless, tomahawk chop signals or something like that. I did not see any of that. Jill, did you see any of that?
I did not see any of it. I was standing at the very top of the stairs to the side and in the back of the boys to try and just make sure that other people weren't going to come up from them from behind, because the boys were targeted immediately because of what they were wearing and what they represented. And it's a very sad day that our society has become so full of hate if you don't agree with one person's viewpoint. It's sickening and it's disgusting that these people bullied underage boys, and they're wanting now to put their faces and their names all over social media.
Oh, Twitter is not doing anything to stop the hunting of these kids. Jill, at what point did you know this had gone horribly awry against the boys?
Well, at the point, Nathan Phillips was still in the center, and at that time, the Hebrew Israelites started coming closer to our group. And, I know that everyone's saying, well, why didn't you get them out of there sooner? Well, if we had walked away and tried to get that whole group while Nathan Phillips was in the middle of us, we would have been chastised for being disrespectful and not honoring the Native American. We stood there and waited for him thinking, we didn't know what he was doing. we just thought we need to respect this man and stand still. But once the other group started getting closer and screaming even more filthy,
horrible.
I'm telling you, filthy,
no, horrible.
Disgusting.
No, they're horrible. This is a horrible, horrible, awful group that every,
yeah.
and I mean it, every journalist in New York City has walked by these guys a million times, and they know exactly who they are, and they are horrible. They say horrible, awful, offensive, nasty things to everyone.
Yes. So at that point, we said, okay, we need to get them going. You know, there's almost 200 boys, so it's not like all of a sudden you can snap your fingers and they come running.
Mm-hmm.
We started yelling at them, let's get over here, let's go to our buses. They heard us, we got them out of there, and we went over to across the street to this little, you know, seating area,
mm-hmm.
and we all gathered over there and waited about another half hour or so for our buses.
And when did social media start turning on you? When were you alerted?
It started on the bus ride home because our buses broke down going there and coming back.
Oh,
it was
my
kind
gosh.
Of, you know, just a debacle from that standpoint. But we were all on the bus. There were five buses total. We ended up with four coming home, and all night the teachers. One teacher was having to take down the social media of Covington Catholic because people had posted the names and email addresses of the entire faculty on Twitter. Mm. I mean, it was constant. And then we started hearing this one particular person who inserted herself in the crowd and filmed everything. She was posting on Instagram a video, and it just got worse from there. And when we got back, well, not when we got back, but before when all this started, each bus, there were four to five adults in each bus, and we all sat up and told the boys, do not respond, do not forward anything, do not post anything, do not respond to any of these allegations and what is being falsely told. And then, you know, it got worse from there.
Jill, I am, and I want you to carry this to the boys and carry this to everybody that you meet at Covington. I
mm-hmm.
think I would put my kids in that school in a heartbeat today, seeing how disciplined they were, seeing what has the response that has come. I would have a problem moving to Covington because the mayor didn't. I mean, his own people, he just dogpiles on. I would like to ask you, I'd like to continue our conversation off air. But mm-hmm. I would love to come to Covington and talk to you guys, the parents and the kids, not about this incident, but what they have learned at that school and what they have learned in life that caused them to behave the way they did in all of the positive ways. I think these kids need to be held up as an example for, I'd like my son to act like those kids did. Jill, thank you so much.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.